It is a Starship Rokon Show with Anna DeBlantis.
Yes.
For another day of broadcast insolence.
Getting close to the big Bears-Packers game tomorrow, 100th season of the NFL kickoff, and you said you might be getting tickets to it all.
Yeah, okay. So I got a call from my buddy who's in the, you know, charge of the ticket operation for Rokon weekends. And he said, yep.
Is this a broker?
Yep, no, he's a friend. We got a lot of stuff together. And he goes, yep, I think we landed the tickets. So these are the hardest tickets I've ever tried to land, he
said to
me.
Harder than the Cubs World Series?
Yeah, because there were a number of games. And okay. This is a once-in-a-lifetime. This is a 100th anniversary. This isn't going to happen again. This is 100 years. This is Bears-Packers. This is Brett Favre and the Superfans. We're going to play some of that a little bit later on for you.
It's so funny.
That is the funniest thing this week. No question about it. I mean, this is, you know, the whole world is crazy about this. They're a gaga about Bears.
They are. And the tickets are, you know, we discussed yesterday, they have gone up dramatically in the last few weeks to crazy numbers, you know, $1,500 to get in the lower bowl.
Yeah. And you have to buy four tickets. You have to put $6,000 down.
Right.
To get
$6,000
to get into the stadium.
Yikes.
I mean, it's crazy. All right. So my friend called me and he's like, okay, we got them and we're all going to have to kind of sit in different places, but we're going to do it in twos, essentially.
Okay.
Like, okay, we couldn't get everybody together. Fine. Because we generally swim in packs of four or six. That's how we,
okay.
That's how we
go. But do you like to remain close or
do you
like
to
scattered?
Remain close, yes.
Okay.
Yeah. But, you know, you never know. Things happen.
See what happens.
So we got, we got two, right? So he sends me the picture. He says, but they're hard tickets.
Hmm?
They were delivered to the business, but his brother bought them. And
so, like paper tickets, real
paper
tickets,
hard tickets,
not
yeah.
e-tickets.
But the Bears and the NFL don't have hard tickets anymore.
What? They don't have any hard tickets anymore?
Mm-mm.
Are you sure?
Mm-hmm.
You check that out.
Gosh.
Wait, so what do season ticket holders get?
What do you get?
It's all mobile apping. Mobile
everything?
App
100%? Uh-huh. And you have hard tickets.
Uh-huh. I wouldn't go find that user right now.
Did you try... I don't know. We've reached out to the Bears. But uh-huh. If you download the mobile app, I wonder if you can type in like the code or whatever's on the TAR ticket, and then that will upload it into your app.
I don't know. If they don't exist, they don't exist. That seems awfully fishy. I mean, how would you produce one if it doesn't exist?
The ticket has so my buddy sent me a picture of the ticket.
Okay.
And it's got a thing on it that says RFID, right? That radio frequency ID thing. And I'm like, really? RFID?
Hmm? You sound like a Star Wars character.
I sound like Scooby-Doo, I think is what I'm trying to go with. Yeah. Ruh-ro.
Yeah, I'd say ruh-ro. So that sounds like they may not be legit.
Well, I don't know.
I
sent a picture over by the Bears. I know. Like, this is their biggest thing they got to worry about right now.
Hey, Bears, we got an emergency.
Right.
Drop everything.
Right. They got so many of them. I'm like, get Nagy on the phone.
Why do I feel like you're not the only one?
I think I might not be. But it's interesting, right? I mean, this has got to be, I would imagine, this is like a crazy time, right,
for them? Oh, sure.
Well, I'm going to bring up my email right now and see if I got a response.
I mean, they've sent out multiple emails saying to remind fans that it's mobile app.
Right, mobile app only.
So if you're going...
And how to use your mobile app.
Right.
Right, but the question is, do they actually have hard tickets? You just have to load them on your mobile app.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that is a question, yes.
Right? Because you could still have them and load them. I've had that happen.
Yeah.
And I hope that's the case for you, for your sake.
I don't know.
Because otherwise you dropped a lot of dough and that's going to be difficult.
I don't want
to
talk
through.
About that.
That's going to be very difficult.
Mm-hmm. How much cheddar do you have to drop on these?
Do we want to talk about
don't
that?
You want to know the truth? I don't have the answer to that.
Well, you know.
Because I secured them and it's not like a situation where I go... You know, how much? I mean, I was going to say no, so I haven't even gotten there yet.
I talked to a guy today who dropped $4,000 on four total tickets.
Oh, I talked to a friend today who just sold. He's a lifelong Bears fan. His dad was a Bears fan. He just sold his for $6,000 four tickets because he said, oh my gosh, what I could do with that kind of money. I want to be there so badly, but we're just going to tailgate instead or do something different.
I mean, $6,000. How do you say? How to know what it's selling?
He's like, the things we can do with that.
Right.
We're just going on vacation. Not even, I mean, he couldn't. Yeah. And he's upset about it. He's bummed. He's like, he got $6,000 and he's still bummed. He's working through it. You know, it's like, you want to be there. It's a big moment. But you can watch it. And aren't they hosting, Kev, you would know about this, aren't they hosting a big party, a watch party in Grant Park?
Yeah, Grant Park starts at 2 o'clock tomorrow. It runs through the end of the game because fans can go and actually watch the game on a big screen there. So there's going to be concert acts, things like that.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. Former players.
Well, the thing is,
you can walk over all bummed out from Soldier Grant.
kicking the turf. Right. Like, hey.
Son of a.
You want to. Oh, come on now.
There has got to
be. All right. Karen, you're on WGN. Go ahead, Karen.
Hi. We have season tickets, and there are no hard copies whatsoever. You had to get the email directly from the Bears. They gave you a specific code that you had to put into your iPhone or your Android, and then you were able to download the tickets into your mobile phone only.
That's not what you wanted to hear.
I'm sorry about that. It's a challenge. My husband is 66 years old and he doesn't even know what a mouse is. And so this is like really challenging. For the preseason games, I think we went over it like 10 times every single time before he left. I'm like, this is how you go into your wallet and get your tickets out. But yeah, no, there are no paper copies whatsoever.
Oh.
Wow.
Ouch.
I gotta go.
Sorry about that.
Sorry about that.
But that's good to know.
Okay,
thank you, Karen.
Hold on. Terry, you're on WGN. Terry.
Oh, Michigan City, Terry.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay, guys. Conflicting info. Over the weekend on the sports stations, they were saying the goal was to get 90% of compliance with the phones. And this comes from Hub, who is nobody's dummy. So, well, I don't think you're out of the woods yet. I mean, you're still in the woods.
I'm in the woods. So the woods are still, I mean, there are still bears in the woods. Is that what you're saying to me?
What do the bears do? What they do? In the woods. So, hell, you're still in the game here, guy.
Okay. All right. What I'm going to do is I'm going to send around. There's something also about these tickets that are a little suspicious to me. The bear doesn't exactly look like the bear.
Oh no! Yeah, there are other signs.
So I'm sending this to everybody on our little.
Okay,
I want to analyze this, and I want everybody to take a look at these. And
very credible sources said 90%.
All right, well, Tub,
keep your chin up, pal.
Okay,
see you later.
All right, goodbye. Bye. All right, I want everybody to take a look at that right now.
Thanks, Michigan City, Terry.
Came in, thank you. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. No, wait, you didn't send it to me. Did you send it to everybody?
Yeah, I sent to everybody. Aren't you everybody?
I should be, because I'm not, but I'm not seeing it. Are you guys seeing it?
Yeah.
Does it look weird?
It does look kind of weird because it's the nice bear logo of the actual bear, not the C.
Mm-hmm.
And when you see that logo, normally it's straight on.
Yeah, it's zoomed
this
in.
This bear appears to be looking to the right, which I've never seen. I've never seen the Chicago Bears logo. It's like,
these look like the tickets to my daughter's performance at the Chitty Chitty Bang Bang at the Athenaeum Theater.
That's what
they look like.
I don't know. I think you'll be all right.
No, I don't think so.
You don't? No.
No.
No. The bear looks worried in this, too. I don't think that the Chicago Bears logo looks concerned. This bear has a look of, I'm not sure if I should be here, kind of look on the ticket's face.
Scared bear?
I'm looking for misspelled words, too, because that's always one of those things. Like,
that's the tip-off to the rip-off,
right,
as Steve Burness likes to say from the Better Business Bureau.
It's like, I'm getting these from Lagos, Nigeria.
How did your friend procure these tickets?
I don't know.
Do we know?
I don't know. This is the funny thing about it. Is he going, well, they're getting delivered. And then I'm like, what do you mean they're getting delivered?
We've got to meet a guy in an alley.
Right? Yeah, really.
And he stops, he goes, hey, wait a second. Didn't I just read that? And his brother was the one that procured him. It's a great story. Because he's the brother. You know, and so now all of a sudden it's like, well, wait a second. He goes, all right, I'm going to get a picture of them. I'm going to send them to you. Can you find out if they're real?
They honestly look like they've been cut with scissors
on
the top. Like,
they
just,
they
that
look
edge
like the old school tickets. Like, you haven't seen. But
they look like they've been cut with scissors properly.
Yeah, they don't look like it's a straight line.
A listener texts in and says, they still have hard tickets. I'm a season ticket holder, and I got them mailed to me.
Okay, that's
weird. So I think
weird.
Season ticket holders have it. If they
Tell them to send a picture of what they look like.
Want to pay extra, you can get them sent to you. But don't you think if you're a season ticket holder and they sent you tickets, they would be like tickets. These look like tickets of old. They don't. Like,
they
the
do.
New tickets are
that's
like
what I'm saying.
There's artwork and they're
right. Like, right. Some shiny of them have like big
holograms on them.
Yeah. Like got tickets to the movies.
That's what they do. That's what I'm
like,
saying.
Looks like a It 2 movie ticket pass. It's like,
are there West Gates at Soldier Field?
That's a
it's just enter on the West Gate.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah, there are. Yes, okay. Absolutely. Yeah, there's West Gates. But they don't, that's not where they go. Where I'm, I mean, the tickets are on the west side of the field. That's correct. But to get to the section that I would be going to, there's a different, I think it's a different way to do it. Okay.
Good luck. Godspeed.
Godspeed is right. All right. Well, I'm waiting to, hold on. Let me, before we pick up Jared Payton here.
Mm-hmm.
I hate to bother him with this, too, at this moment.
Wouldn't.
You know, this is...
I really
would. You know, there's a lot going on.
Yeah, it's a big moment for him and his family.
Father's statue just got, you know, inaugurated, and I'm going to be the one going, could you do me a favor and check to see if these tickets are valid?
Yeah, he doesn't need to be concerned with that, right?
I don't know.
I don't think so.
No, I mean, he's a buddy. I mean, you know, you think, you know, you're going to help a brother out in a situation like this. Even though I'm not his brother. If I were, I wouldn't be having this problem.
No, I don't think so. You already have your tickets.
Yeah.
They would be e-tickets and you have no problem.
That'd be an issue. All right, let's see here. Hold on. I don't know what this is.
What is? Are you trying to link into...
I just got a
JP?
I'm just trying to look at my email and see if the Bears got back to me. Because all I know is that some waterproofing company just got back to me. So I don't know. About, I don't even know if I need that.
Maybe they're retro-looking tickets for 100 years, the 847 says. So they kind of went throwback. Thursday kind of thing, like 100 years ago.
This is kind of 70s style, though.
Right.
That doesn't seem like enough. I mean, if you're going to go back, you got to go way,
long
way
time.
Back.
I didn't know they
like
printed.
On a piece of bark. You know, that's something like that.
A stone tablet.
Right, or the handwritten something. By George Ellis. All right, this kit grants you access for two. All right. Okay, I gotta go. We'll find out from Jared Payton what the hell's going on here in just a second. But first, let's check in now with Kim. What's happening in the newsroom at the bottom of the hour?
Jesse Smollett's lawyers not backing down on dismissing the city's federal lawsuit against the actor. We'll bring you the latest coming up.
Oh, come on!
Make Sundays your official night to tour the city. Watch Chicago's Best at 10 p.m., then stick around for the latest in shopping, entertainment, and events. See Chicago 10:30 p.m. on WGN-TV.
Yeah. We're assessing here whether or not I have purchased legitimate tickets to the Bears game.
You know, no tickets are required for that Grant Party watch party. So,
thank you, Anna.
Nice backup plan for
Thank
you there,
you,
the NFL
Anna.
Hosting its first ever watch party.
I might be a little busy filling in for Dan Hampton on the Hamp OB and Kaz show tomorrow. I hate to name drop. I hate to, you know, do that. Especially in front of Jared Payton.
Yeah.
I hate to brag, but I might be doing that. Then I was gonna take a Uber, as my friends call it.
Uber?
A Uber down to Soldier Field and get in with my ticket that I just purchased. Uh-huh. But I'm just not sure it's a real ticket because it's a hard ticket, Jared Payton, and I'm not sure it's real.
They don't look
legit.
I'm
gonna tell you something. Listen, Ro, I'm gonna tell you something, man. I haven't used a real ticket in like 4 years.
Oh, God.
And listen, and it's because I got a press pass now, but even if I didn't have a press pass, more than likely, I just walk up to gate 14 and I probably tell them, like, yeah, I know this guy that wears number 34. Is there any way you could, like, squeeze me in? And they probably let me in. So if it comes down to a pinch, call me. And I'll see if I can get you in. Oh, I know somebody.
You got a guy.
I like the idea of of walking up there and going, don't you know, for me doing this, don't you know who I am? I'm Jared Payton's brother. It's a different mother and, by the way, a different father. I get it. It's a sort of a term.
Really, there's no relation.
Really not an actual status, but whatever. Uh-huh. Let me in.
Yeah.
Yeah. I like then the guys in the Monterey jackets. They're telling them that.
Then next thing you know, TMZ grabs the story, and it's going to be a whole different thing.
Yeah,
we're
going to
be in total trouble.
Whole other deal. All right. So we talked to you last week. You'd already seen the statue that got unveiled yesterday. But
yes, sir.
Now that you were there yesterday and you saw it, you know, in its all of its glory, ensconced there in the south end of the entrances to Soldier Field, that is just it is spectacular, isn't it?
Yeah, it gives me goosebumps every
single time that I think about it. And it's been real tough because I haven't had a chance to really, like, have any off time to really think about it. I mean, last night, got home, working. I was on with Pete last night late at, like, 10 o'clock. So I didn't go to bed because I was working on the special for today. So right after I got done yesterday, I came right to work. So today, a little bit of just sitting back and thinking about what it means for my family, what it will probably mean for my dad to be able to be immortalized forever outside of Soldier Field, and to see both statues of my dad going to be right across from his mentor, Papa Bear Hallis, who he was the reason why we were all there anyway. He created, you know, the NFL and really took football to another level. And him and my dad standing side by side and be able to look over the Chicago Bears team forever is something that still doesn't seem real. It seems like a dream.
And you think about the interactivity in years to come. Like, there's such a special connection between your dad, how he was revered by Chicagoans everywhere, but Bears fans also everywhere. And you just think about people treating this like the Michael Jordan statue at the UC. Like, people will come and make a trip to be there, even if it's not a Bears game, and actually just see it, just to see it and take it in.
Yeah, if I'm not mistaken, yesterday as I was leaving, there was a guy who flew into town from Mexico to see the statue. And that right there just goes to show me. And he wanted me to give a shout out to all the Bears fans. And I knew this a couple years ago, that my dad is like a big deal in Mexico. He's the reason why, like, a lot of people from Mexico love the game of football, watched him play. And I went over to Mexico, and someone, like, on Twitter hit me up and told me to go see some statue. There's actually a football field dedicated to my dad in Mexico with a statue of him over there. Wow. And I got a chance to go see it. How crazy is that?
That is. Just think of his impact.
And we can't wait for the special tonight, JP. Savoring Sweetness. What can we expect to see? That airs at 7 tonight on WGN-TV.
You know what, Paul? You've been anxious about this special, like, a little bit more than I am. I'm excited to be able to share this with people in Chicago. It's different. People have seen the football life. They've seen, you know, Beyond the Glory that was years ago. But this is different. This is me telling a story at 38 years old and getting a chance to kind of have it in my with my voice. And just a big credit to and a big thanks to WGN, Jen Lyons, my boss, and being able to kind of look at this and also Paul Rennie to say this is the vision and to give me a platform to be able to tell my story and our family's story. It's a lot of stuff that you do know and some stuff that you don't know, especially the relationship between, you know, my mom and my dad and, you know, how they met and all that stuff. It's stuff that's real deep. I'm going to tell you, not a lot of highlights because to pay for those would be a little bit too much, and it was out of my budget. So it gave us an opportunity to really dive into some really good stories of the people that knew my dad the best.
You know what, though? There's also great photography that you avail yourself of in this piece, too, that is really, really cool. Because, you know, to me, as a fan, as a child, watching him, sometimes the Monday paper was the best. Because you just he'd be on the cover. Like, you know, going over he was somehow able to elevate in ways, at least the first half of his career. And, you know, if they were on the 3-yard line or 2-yard line, there was no question that Walter was going over the top. And when he went over the top, sometimes he just landed on his head and he was okay with it. And it was, and he had this amazing ability to elevate. And there's a couple I noticed in the promotional stuff I've seen for this, you use some of those stills. And that is, you know, it's super, super cool stuff. So,
man, I got to tell you this. So there is a podcast that's going to be trailing all this tonight. So we're going to be having all these interviews that you didn't get to hear fully. They're going to be able in podcast form to hear full interviews. And there's an interview that is going to be dropping pretty soon, next couple of weeks. Kevin Kelly, who was my dad's workout partner for the end of his career, and he talks about the process of my dad running through this farmer's land, and it has to do with him jumping over hay barrels. So I don't want to give away too much stuff because we have some more stuff to come, but it's my dad trained himself to be able, that wasn't something that just happened. He trained jumping over things and landing and doing barrel rolls, like, out in field. So he prepared himself for everything that he did, and listening to a lot of these stories, man, I learned so much about him. I learned a lot about myself as a father, as a husband, as a person. And it's just been very therapeutic for me to go through this whole entire process of making Savoring Sweetness. So I look forward to sharing it with everybody tonight.
And there's a watch party at O'Donovan's, which is 2100 West Irving Park Road in Chicago as well, tonight.
You know what, Ro, you just scared me there by pubbing that, man. I think too many people are going to show up, man. I hope everybody comes out. I want them to. I'm trying to save some space for my mom and my sister, but I look forward. Hopefully people can come out and watch it. First come, first serve, but it is going to be an emotional night for me. And these 3 days of yesterday, today, and tomorrow, all very emotional, but something that I look forward to. And we've always shared our dad with everybody here in Chicago. And credit to the fans for really just helping us keep his legacy alive, man. And it's still strong to this day.
Of course. Thank you, Jared. Appreciate it, man.
Thanks, Jared.
All right.
Enjoy
love
the game.
You guys, man.
All right. Love you, too. There he is, Jared Payton. The great Jared Payton.
Yes.
All right, it's the Rokan Show with Anna DeVlantis right here on 720 WGN.
Any more news on your tickets, Ro? Are they going to work?
Hold on a second. I got to bring A.B. Stoddard into this. This is a great crisis I'm having, A.B.
She may be able to help with this somehow.
You have no idea how dangerous my life has just become. The big 100th anniversary Bears-Packers game is tomorrow night here in Chicago, kicking off the NFL season. Big deal. Gigantic deal for the NFL. They've got a huge party beforehand. I don't know if you've watched anything on television on NBC. They're promoting this like it's like literally they're covering the Martians landing on Earth. It is like it's unbelievable. And so it's the hardest ticket I've ever seen here in Chicago.
Huh.
And a buddy of mine was able to score two, and then he sent me pictures of the tickets. And then we found out that there are no hard tickets for these games. These are digital only in terms of the tickets. So we're trying to assess right now from the Bears organization on the eve of their 100th anniversary game whether or not I've been scammed.
Oh, what is a virtual? What does this mean?
This means like a hard ticket, right? Is like a paper ticket, like, you know, people normally would associate with going to an event. But in this case, the NFL is moving toward all digital. And the Bears, I just read a guy just sent me a story.
Yeah, he did.
Out of the Sun-Times that said, hey, the Bears are 100% digital now.
Right.
There are no hard tickets.
Somebody else cited ChicagoBears.com Newswire that said we're going mobile only as of 2019.
Oh, my God.
I have a feeling when you get there, they're going to send you to a room where you're watching it on a video monitor.
Yeah. Oh, you mean like in the overflow room at a for the press? Yeah.
So we have a perfect spot for you, sir, right
you
over there.
Even had. I don't know. I'm going to be eager to find out.
Yes, I'm eager to find out myself. So, I'm interrupting. I got like Virginia McCaskey working on this thing right now, the owner of the Bears. I got her. I've gone all the way to the top.
Roger Goodell's in town. You might be able to get him involved. You know.
He's got nothing better to
get
do.
Give him a ring.
Right?
There's nothing better to do.
As long as that New England Patriot owner isn't in town, he doesn't have to kiss his keister all day long. So he's got another time
yours.
On his hands. Yeah. All right. Hey, A.B.
Yeah.
First of all, good news for Aaron Schock, you know, the former congressman from the from Northern Central Illinois. Yeah, he's all the corruption charges have been dropped because he was a good boy. Now, do you know what the most exciting part about this is? Remember, he got in trouble because he used expenses that he shouldn't have. Like, he diverted funds to redo his office and do other things. He wanted to do a Downton Abbey motif in his office.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which, that raised a lot of questions.
Well, remember, he actually reported mileage for reimbursement that exceeded the number of miles that actually
driven. Yes, and resold tickets, speaking of tickets.
Oh, tickets!
Resold tickets for events like the World Series.
Making a profit on tickets.
I wonder if Aaron Schock sold my friend the tickets.
Oh, no. Check to see if his fingerprints are on this.
Don't tell the judge. He's back in the ticket business.
Right, because so far so good, right? I mean, it's, you know, Aaron Schock's kind of in a little bit of clover, as they say. Now, but here's the thing. The good news is that there's a Downton Abbey movie coming out. So,
yeah, you don't say.
This is the best year ever for him.
It kind of is.
Yeah.
I think that he might have been doing some PR for them all along.
I have a question.
He's just bringing that focus back. I just can't believe that he. I mean, if you think about it now, right in the age of Trump, we're like, oh gosh, you know, whatever. Like
right.
Trump's cabinet is out, like probably making profits off tickets too. They're always in trouble for this or that. They're always, most of them are under investigation. But so Aaron Schock is probably wondering, you know, what happened to him back in the day when, you know, you couldn't escape this kind of thing. But, and I know everyone from Illinois is corrupt. I get it. They go into politics. But, I mean, 24 counts, it wasn't like a small deal.
No.
It wasn't one thing. I mean, it was pretty premeditated.
Well, and there was the failure to report on his federal income tax. So if you do sell your tickets at a profit, you have to report that income. And that part he did not do. But I guess he's trying to draw the distinction between mistakes and crimes and saying that this was just kind of oversight. Like, it just didn't, he just failed to do it. It wasn't like he intentionally failed to do it.
Yeah, I would just like to live in a world again where when people are stewards of the taxpayer dollar, they bend over backwards to make sure that there's no appearance of this type of mistake.
Yeah, I agree.
I don't know. Maybe we'll never get back there. Maybe Aaron Schock's the last person.
There are no rules. I just want to say that. There are no rules. And that's what I'm going to tell the guys at the gate tomorrow night at the Bears game. When they say, this ticket is not valid, I'm going to go, there are no rules.
In America?
I want you to tell them that this is Trump's America, and you would like the best seat in the House. Thank you so much.
Security.
Yeah. That's what's going on. Exactly. I mean, hey, you can't do this.
What are those awful plastic things on my wrist?
I'm a member of Mar-a-Lago.
No, this is Trump's America. There's no rules. You have the word ticket somewhere in your phone, and you're going in there.
I just want to say this, that this week is something preposterous happens every day out of Washington, every single day. The preposterous thing that happened today was that the president took a Sharpie and extended the cone of the hurricane to include Alabama, jumping an entire state to get to Alabama to prove that he wasn't wrong about Alabama being in the eye of it, even though he was wrong about it. The guy can't go, oh, you know what? I'm sorry. I made a mistake. I said Alabama. It's not. It's Georgia.
It's so great. He's getting even feistier. The officials over the weekend in Alabama had to tweet out to their residents that no, they were not in fact in danger and in target of Dorian, and the president's very angry about this.
Yeah,
and he has a Sharpie to remedy the situation.
Here we go.
Our original chart was that it was going to be hitting Florida directly. Maybe I could just see that, Kevin. It was going to be hitting directly, and that would have affected a lot of other states. But that was the original chart, and you see it was going to hit not only Florida but Georgia. It could have was going toward the Gulf. That was what was originally projected.
No, it wasn't. It was never originally projected. Never once.
The original chart.
Never once. Right. Get me a chart. Put a Sharpie. That was never a projection.
Did you see the guy with the poster board too? He looked so nervous bringing it. I got it. I know which one you're talking about. Here it is.
Oh my God.
It's just always, there's so many bullets and so many shoes. While the Pence chief of staff basically told reporters that the president suggested that Pence, you know, stay at his place 180 miles from Dublin or whatever on this trip, and then the president's trying to, I mean, once the vice president's chief of staff goes on the record with this type of thing, like, you can't really walk it back, but he's trying to pretend that isn't true.
And actually, these
are the stories in the middle of a massive hurricane. These are the stories that he creates that come out. I mean, they're all self-inflicted wounds every time, and they're all spectacular.
Well, the Irish thing. Okay, so Trump decides he doesn't want to go to Poland because he wants to stay back here and monitor the situation. In other words, watch over his real estate. But as soon as soon as the thing turns north, he goes to the golf course. He goes to his golf course in Virginia. He plays golf. They got a rare picture of him playing golf too. It's rare, you know, it's hard. This was a last minute thing because they didn't secure the area where the press couldn't get a shot of him doing it. But he did do it. All right, fine. So he goes and he plays golf. He plays a lot of golf. He always complained about everybody else playing golf. He plays a lot of golf. Okay, fine. Hypocrisy. That's the least of his crimes. So then he gets done with the golf, right? And instead of telling Pence, hey, all right, you go to Poland, come right back here. Pence has to go to Dublin for some set of reasons. And then he's like, I've got a golf course there. Go ahead and stay there. And then we're paying the United States of America, the taxpayer of the United States of America is paying in their entire lifetime. There are people who are working class folks whose entire lifetime taxes, if you just have that one person paying for it, their entire life's tax bill went to Mike Pence having to stay at this West Coast of Ireland golf course opened by Donald Trump. What is the? I don't get it. How is not somebody stopping and going, you know what? That's not right.
Yeah, no, they never stop it. I mean, they never stop the golf. They never stop him being in his own resorts. No one can stop this guy and say the optics are bad, as we know, suggesting the G7 be held at Doral. You can't stop him.
The reason given was that Pence was meeting with his distant cousin in Ireland. Did you see that?
Which was another 150 miles from the resort, by the way.
There's nothing closer?
No. That's not it. That wasn't it. He was going to County Cork. That was a different deal.
I love it. The president doesn't miss an opportunity there. Says, well, I had no involvement in it other than knowing that it's a great property. It's phenomenal property.
Right. There you go. Like you said about Doral, too.
Right.
Biggest ballrooms in all Florida. And, you know, and Pence's chief of staff is a good guy. That's the funny thing. Pence's guy has traditionally had some good people around him.
Mark Short's a great guy, and also he's really smart, and I think it's really interesting that he actually admitted it to the press.
Well, I think he admitted it to the press because I think he knows
the truth.
Right, because he knows that eventually he's going to be one of the guys who will survive coming out of this administration relatively unscathed. I cannot say the same for Steve Mnuchin or his wife. I cannot say.
You know, it's so interesting because I was just reading yet another piece today on the, you know, China trade war, and I think every single person around Trump, speaking of Steven Mnuchin, is leaking about the trade decisions and the tariffs discussions, except for Peter Navarro. If you really focus, I mean, this is a Washington game, but you guys understand it. If you really focus on all the reporting, on all these heated meetings and decisions and retaliatory measures and all this stuff, I think every single person is disagreeing with Trump or panicking about what it's going to do to his electoral prospects and the economy and everything else, and they're all leaking except for Peter Navarro. Just want to get that on the record right there.
Okay. Amazing. All right, thank you for clearing up the record. Now, if you could get working on my Bears tickets, I'd really appreciate it.
Figure that out, Evie. You're good at this stuff.
You know what? I luckily for you, I know some Russian hackers. This is all going to be taken care of by tomorrow.
Internet research agency needs to print me some tickets, or at least drop tickets into my phone. Russia, if you're listening, Russia, I need 50-yard line tickets for the Bears-Packers game tomorrow.
Hey,
I hope it works out. I'll be really eager to hear.
Yeah, I'll let you know next.
These are first world problems. Yeah, I know, at the highest degree.
Here's the problem. I mean, as a white man, as a middle aged white male, AB, you know that the world is my oyster. I don't have to worry about anything.
That's true.
I am privileged. I have
from the Midwest too.
Right,
yeah,
from the Midwest. Right. I could be a farmer. I don't know what I am. If I see Jussie Smollett walking up and down the street, I can chase him away. I have all these things that I can do here as a middle-aged white male, and this is what, and I'm going to take advantage of my privilege. That's what it is.
I want you to go to that game. I really, really am crossing my fingers that you make it to the 100th anniversary.
Thank you very much. Thank you, AB.
I'm here for you.
Thank you. Appreciate it. We'll talk to you next week.
Thanks, guys.
Bye.
Thanks, AB.
AB Satter, Real Clear Politics.
Seems very concerned about you, Will. Very concerned.
All right. I would like... Okay,
I told you, GoFundMe. Roe needs to go.
I need $6,000. If these tickets are fake, I need $6,000 in a GoFundMe to go to this game. I'm just gonna have to open it up. All right.
It didn't happen.
Let's check in with Kim, find out what's going on at the top of the hour in the newsroom.
Roe, the auto industry taking steps to keep kids safe in hot cars. We'll have the details coming up.
All right, the stories that matter with Kim Gordon from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom on WGN Radio. It's coming up in just a minute or so. We also have in the 4 o'clock hour your chance to rip us off for a $50 gift certificate to Bartolini's Restaurant. Family-owned and operated with the best Italian cuisine in Chicagoland. And that's coming your way after 4 o'clock. They ship to all 50 states. Home of the Bartolini 10-pound meatball sandwich challenge. Newly renovated bar and dining room. 24 beers on tap. Many local brews. Visit Bartolini's.com, my friends. My friends. We're going to play that Superfans thing with Brett Favre,
too. Wait.
It is absolutely
it's great.
The funniest damn thing ever.
Oh, I could listen to it again and again. So funny.
All right. We will be doing that. Coming your way, all that comes your way in the 4 o'clock hour, because right now it is 4 o'clock. Chicago stories are told 24-7 on 720 WGN Chicago. Smart speaker users, just say play WGN Radio on TuneIn. News is sponsored by Kim Gordon herself. It's the Rokan Show with Anna DeVlantis on 720 WGN.
It is. The story about Lake Michigan really troubles me.
Yeah,
and the plastics?
Yeah. Let's talk about this, because this is... Joel Brammeier is with us, president and CEO of the Alliance for the Great Lakes. 22 million pounds of plastics entered the Great Lakes each year. And most of that pollution pours into Lake Michigan, and now they're starting to find plastic residue in fisheries and other places throughout the lake. That, you know, you see all these stories about the ocean and
always,
you know, a dolphin with a, you know, with a six pack, you know, thing around its nose and things like that. Around,
yeah,
but
so many.
You're starting to see that
sea
stuff happening here.
Choking on the plastic bags.
And Joel, thank you so much for being with us. I appreciate it.
Yeah, sure. Sure thing.
All right, so let's. First of all, one of the things we know about plastic dumping around the world is that there are governments that just openly do it. They just throw the plastics into any waterway, or the garbage into any waterway, because they have no other place to do it. We have rules in the United States about that. We don't actually do it. How are all these plastics getting into the Great Lakes?
Well, you know, rules or not, we're seeing this more than 20 million pounds a year of plastic going into the Great Lakes, most of that going into Lake Michigan. And the reality is that we use plastic every single day in all aspects of our lives, even when we don't realize it. You know, several of our staff tried to go a week without using single-use plastics, and it was almost impossible. And so that plastic, even though we do have strong regulations on dumping litter here in the United States, still, we have a lot of refuse that goes on our streets, goes on our beaches, and ultimately ends up in the water. And that's where we see these plastics breaking down and being distributed throughout the Great Lakes.
So basically, the plastic bags, they get into the lake, and then they do break down somewhat, and that's what they call these microplastics. They say 5 millimeters or less, that they're everywhere, very difficult to see, so you don't realize the extent of the problem.
And that's one of the big challenges about Great Lakes plastic, because you've got this, you mentioned, you know, this sort of stereotypical image of a six-pack ring or some plastic fishing net that's trapping an animal. And in the Great Lakes, what we see is actually those big plastics break down very quickly, and so what you end up is with these tiny bits of microplastic that are just throughout the water. They're very difficult to see. It's hard to know they're there, but if you start looking in things like the stomachs of fish or even in processed food products like beer or bottled water, you start to see these tiny bits of plastic that are just everywhere. And that's because they break down in the water.
Now you have my attention, sir. You mentioned beer.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, it's not quite 5 o'clock yet. So.
It's somewhere. Hey, now that's obviously very, very bad for us as consumers of that, right? I mean, you don't want to put that through your track, because it's over time, that's going to have its own set of issues for people's health.
One of the things that researchers are looking into right now is whether these tiny bits of plastic actually can carry other chemicals that are in the environment and make it more likely that fish, wildlife, or even people could absorb them. So plastics don't, they're not just inert. They don't just sort of bop around the water without doing anything. They pick up other contaminants. And so researchers are looking at whether or not these plastics could potentially be a vehicle for other chemicals getting into our bodies, getting into, you know, the bodies of fish and wildlife and having a negative effect on that. We really don't know enough about the actual health impacts of these plastics that are all around us in the Great Lakes. And that's why some of the research that Illinois is trying to prioritize is so important. So we can learn more about what the real impacts are and start to target some solutions.
I will say it was really, I mean, beer aside, it was very concerning to hear that it getting into our drinking water. And then I was reading the Tribune article, and it was surprising to me that the Water Management Department for Chicago it's not required to test for microplastics. Does that seem, no, maybe that should change, or given the amounts that are in our water now?
Yeah, there are, right now there's no requirement to test for microplastics. I can tell you that microplastics are going to be everywhere in the water that's being discharged, for example, from our sewage treatment plants and from other sewage treatment plants around the Great Lakes, because these tiny bits just get through those systems. And so it keeps recirculating and building up in the water. So what we really need to do is to, obviously, you know, this is a great opportunity for people to learn more about the problem, but also to reduce the sources of the problem in the first place. And that means reducing our reliance on single-use plastics. You know, think about all of the food packaging that we get that has plastic that we use one time and then throw away. The less of that that we have circulating around us, the less we're going to see these microplastics building up in the Great Lakes. You know, unlike the Great Pacific Garbage Patch that people have heard of, this problem is homegrown, and there is something we can do about it by reducing the amount of plastic we use around us here in the Great Lakes states, and just like, you know, for Illinois, for example.
It's a good point.
Yeah.
You think about over Labor Day weekend, how many plastic bottles did your party use, you know, or my party? It's crazy. Everything, it's hard to avoid, as you said. How would you, you know, it's difficult to live a life that way, but reusing your shopping bags, the straws have gotten a lot of attention, you see lately, that people are opting for non-plastic style straws. They seem to be more available. There are some other options.
All right. Well,
there are.
Go ahead, Joel.
And, the state of Illinois, for example, city of Chicago, companies can use their purchasing power to actually reduce the amount of single-use plastic they're consuming. All of those steps help to contribute to reducing the source of the problem. And if folks want to get out and do something with their own hands and get involved in the cleanup effort, we've got a big event, our September Adopt a Beach events, coming up on September 21st. You can go to greatlakes.org and get involved that way, too.
All right. Thank you very much, Joel. Appreciate it, sir. Thanks for your help on this.
Thank you.
Joel Brandmeier, the CEO and president of the Alliance for the Great Lakes. It's a difficult problem. I notice this. I start thinking about this now. Today I went and, you know, had lunch, right? Mm-hmm. I went to one of those healthy places for lunch.
Mm-hmm.
This is, I don't know why, but it's one of those fast food places or fast casual places that, where everything is quinoa based and, mm-hmm, you know,
a lot of green drinks being served.
Yes, but in plastic cups.
Oh.
And I'm like, you hippies, yeah, you're still causing trouble. I got to have quinoa, but I'm still going to have it in plastic.
Yeah. Very hippie critical.
Yeah. Well, it was,
I almost made that work.
I am sort of hypocritical because I thought, well, you know, you people, you know, you're constantly telling me that I'm doing the wrong thing by going to McDonald's. So I decide, and also it was because it was right across the street from work, and mm-hmm, I walked by and I thought, you know, they have this like new Korean thing, and I love Korean food. So, mm-hmm, I thought, okay, well, it's like a Korean spice deal. Which, by the way, wasn't, I would like to point out.
What do you mean,
wasn't? Well, it wasn't, you know, like, it wasn't Korean enough for me.
Oh.
There's like great Korean, And then there's a guy
quasi-Korean.
There's a guy in the back going, hey, I could do Korean. Watch this. And it's not.
It wasn't
same.
Really.
No.
Okay. Disappointed you there too.
Yeah.
And then served in plastic. That's
right.
All
they served
needed.
In plastic, and now I'm like, no. And, you know, and I had the hippie salad with the, you know, or the hippie bowl. I can't have a salad anymore. Instead of having quinoa, I went with the shredded cauliflower.
Okay, that's big now, too. You see that everywhere.
Oprah loves it.
The cauliflower.
Right. So I had the shredded cauliflower and then a, and then, you know, some other vegetables and then chicken and the sauce and this Korean hot sauce. And it wasn't hot good. And it wasn't particularly Korean. And that's the thing.
And the whole packaging was plastic?
Yeah,
or
the whole thing's plastic.
Oh, you put it in a plastic bowl, plastic lid. In the kind of the paper.
Like the carton kind of deal?
Carton kind of. And if you have, if you get something a little too saucy, then they do get absorbed and you feel like, you know, it's going to break open at some point.
Right, exactly.
Or like, have you ever taken one of those straws that are made out of like the bamboo or some alternative product?
I hate paper.
And then they
kind
of get squishy in your mouth and
the
suddenly you're eating the paper. You're like, oh,
it's a paper straw.
You only have a certain amount of time to finish that drink before the straw dissolves and you're eating paper.
Yes.
Gotta go.
Right. They got to figure that out. Isn't there something they can do? Can't they put plastic around the paper to make it, work
better?
Well,
and then the metal ones are impaling people in their eyes.
Yeah, people have their own straws now. Isn't that a thing for millennials? Do you guys know anybody who has their own straw? Because
I saw
sell
a guy pull it out of his coat. Like he's wearing a
he's
suit.
Like, I have my own straw.
Excuse me, I have my own straw. I go, you are an a-hole.
Oh, he's just trying to help the environment, Ro. I mean,
no, if you're trying to help the environment, you do not have to tell me about your own straw.
Rubbing it in that you didn't have one.
But wouldn't you rather have that than a paper straw that falls apart in two sips?
Yes.
No.
Yeah.
Because I got to clean my straw.
Well, so what?
And plus, my straw's going to drip in my pocket. And I don't,
apparently, they have their own cases.
Yeah, you have a case, too.
But it's a long thing. So what do? You put it in your pant pocket? I mean, I'm walking around in jeans and a shirt.
She just said, Lauren just explained. They
and
have their
a case. I get it. Where am I going to put the case?
It's probably easy. We don't carry around purses, you know?
I have a backpack. I always put stuff in there.
Okay. Well, I don't carry a backpack.
Put it behind your ear.
Right. Inside your suit coat pocket.
Yeah, but I'm not wearing a suit coat every day. I only have a stunt suit coat for television. I don't even, it's not even a real one. It's made out of paper. It just is.
Does that also disappear in 2 seconds?
Sometimes they just put it on me digitally because they can do that on television
now.
You can
wear a suit coat. We'll deal with that.
I don't have that. I don't have time for that. And I'm going to tell you something right now. Now, the bamboo at least is better. The bamboo straw. I like the bamboo stuff is actually better.
I agree with you on that.
I would too. I would say that stuff seems to work.
But I bet they're more expensive than a paper straw.
Uh-huh. You see bamboo silverware kind of stuff, but it is expensive. It's not certainly not like plastic silverware.
But what about the pandas?
They're fine.
Take it from them.
Let's not worry about them.
Bamboo grows so quickly. You're not.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Bamboo is, they like to say, very sustainable.
Sustainable.
Very sustainable. All right. Fine. I don't think the paper is. I mean, they have trees.
Phones here, 708. Very helpful. Phones are basically as big as a straw now. Just strap it to your phone. There you go, Ro. Strap your straw and your silverware, your bamboo silverware, to your phone.
But I put my phone in my pocket, and now I'm going to be sitting down on my straw and my spork.
Yeah, well, just position it right.
Right, because I had to have it. That's the other thing I had to have at this hippie place today, hippie corporate place, was I had to have a bamboo spork. And I'm like, okay, now what do I do with this thing?
I love a good spork.
Sporks
are very good.
It makes me feel like I'm in a ward in a hospital, like I just tried to do something bad to myself, and they handed me that so I won't hurt myself with it.
They're very practical. Sort of you can scoop stuff. You can,
Right. I'm wearing all paper clothes. They should have given this to Jeffrey Epstein. Nothing bad would have happened. Paper clothes and a spork, and then you're good to go. All right.
Well, I think you should try because I think it's worth it. We don't want microplastics in our drinking water.
I put the guy on. I'm like that. I'm very concerned about this.
I am too. Figure this out.
But I'm not putting up with paper straws. So we got to come up with another solution. Because you start to sip on the paper straw and it closes down, because it loses its integrity down in the liquid.
Yes, it does.
And then all of a sudden, it sort of folds into itself.
Mm-hmm.
And then you're sucking paper up through the little hole.
Right. It breaks down. It's not. It isn't good. But I thought storage was your issue. That's the larger issue for you. You want to know how to store it.
I mean,
to carry.
Like a metal straw. I'm not getting my own straw. I'm not going
to
do that.
You want them to solve
the
paper straw.
Yeah, I want them to solve the paper. They can do something better. They can make the paper straw better than they're making it. I don't know how, but they can do it.
Someone come up with that.
Somebody can do it. I mean, for God's sake, we're going to the moon. or we went to the moon or something.
Let's just have Twizzlers everywhere. Everyone uses a Twizzler.
Well, what about that? Edible spoons or edible straws.
They have those, but they're expensive yet again.
What if there was a way just to take a plastic straw, use it once, and put it under some kind of a sanitizer, and then just use it again?
What? Yeah. See, but then you get it. Now you fold your straw, and then it's broken. And I've noticed that at the Starbucks. If you know the now they're using a really thin straw that it must break down or something better. Something, I don't know why they do it.
More biodegradable.
And then it's constantly getting embolisms. It's constantly getting little cracks in it. And then you start sucking on it, and you're sucking air and not the, you know, the Frappuccino or whatever the hell it is you want to suck on.
Well, remember, Starbucks is doing a new, they're going to do a lid instead of a straw, eventually.
Yeah.
That's the plan, because they want to be
more. Have you had one yet?
Eco-friendly. No.
It's like a kid's sippy cup.
Yeah, and it gets in the way, and it's still, and it sprays around inside your car.
What do you mean it sprays around inside your car?
Like, you have the lid.
Right, because it's really kind of wide and long, so it's not like where you can put the green little plug in there. You know how you do in a hot cup to keep it from spilling? So these are kind of an oval shaped, and when you hit a bump,
splash.
It comes up. Yeah, it comes up through
splashing.
The hole.
Oh, I don't want splashing. Good. No.
Well, then you got to put a plastic stopper in there. Same problem.
Right, the green stopper, which they won't let you take anymore. I have to get my own stopper. I actually took like 100 stoppers, those green stir stoppers
before they got rid of them.
Starbucks. It was one of those Starbucks that was in another place, but it was closed.
Uh-huh.
But they had left the thing up on the counter,
uh-huh.
And I'm like, all right,
you moved in.
That's mine.
Boy,
I'm tired of being ripped off by everybody. I'm going to start ripping off myself. All right, let's check in with Kim Gordon, find out what's going on in the news at the bottom of the hour.
Former Congressman Aaron Schock gets a reprieve. We'll explain coming up.
Get real in the morning with Larry Potash, Robin Baumgarten, Paul Conrad, and the entire WGN-TV morning news team. It's all weekdays 4 a.m. to 10 a.m. on WGN-TV.
From Concho with Anna DeBlantis right here on 720 WGN.
I think the team should go eco-friendly for just a couple days to see if we could live without plastics. Just a couple days.
I think it'd be pretty easy, actually.
All right, let me ask you a question. We went bowling last night to celebrate the birthday of our sonic genius, Brian Altimer.
We did, and he is.
And I'm trying to think about what the whole team went.
Mm-hmm.
And we were... And we were serving ourselves. There were there was styrofoam plates.
Yep.
Right?
There were.
There were
plastic glasses for the water.
Right.
But those were...
We didn't drink a lot of water.
We didn't drink a lot of water.
No.
We did our part there.
No, there was a lot of glass being used, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that's sustainable and reusable.
But they brought all the food over. Wasn't there some plastics involved on most of the food?
There were styrofoam plates?
I think there were.
Yeah, I didn't notice that.
There were. Were the plastic plates? What were they? Were the glass plates?
They
were glass plates?
No, were they?
Tequila shots got to everybody.
Oh, God. Oh, God. At least Lauren said, I can't do tequila shots.
I can't.
It'd make me crazy.
That wasn't quite the word, but close enough, I guess.
Something. So, it was quite a moment, though. It was, so there was glass. So, yes, you know what? We were totally sustainable last night.
Yeah, mostly.
We were drinking the beers out of, because we like beer, out of bottles.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
And the plastic glasses were like the reusable plastic ones. Yeah,
just for water.
Not one and done.
All right. Okay. Well, we did our part. Thank you, Anna, for the suggestion.
Yep.
We got it all worked out.
So we've done that now? We're not doing it anymore?
You're welcome, environment.
Yep.
Gosh. I hardly think that's really an accomplishment, what we did last night.
Richard Roper will be here to tell us if Keira Knightley can be the next James Bond, essentially.
That plot seems so interesting to me because it's a real-life story. I can't wait to hear about that.
And Super Size Me 2, Holy Chicken, is out now.
Uh-oh.
Morgan Spurlock, his follow-up to the McDonald's, you know, Super Size Me.
So I thought it didn't go well the first time. Why would you check it again?
And
it almost kill him?
And It, Chapter 2.
That looks scary. I'm so excited.
He'll tell us all about that. Plus, a top 5 of 5 is coming your way, and an answer to whether or not I have been scammed. All of that coming your way right here on the program. But first, we have got the news with Kim Gordon coming your way in 2 little minutes. Bro Con Show with Anna DeVlantis on 720 WGN, WGN everywhere, the WGN app, all the places one can get us in the many, many varied places that we exist. Yes. And coming up after 5:35 today, we'll also be on the World Wide Web, WGNradio.com, if you want to continue to listen as we continue on. And as we WGN Radio goes to the White Sox pregame show, we continue on.
We do.
But that it, again, get the app. It's the greatest thing. Or your smart speaker. You can tell your smart speaker, whatever her name happens to be, what to do just to listen to WGN Radio on TuneIn or just play WGN Radio. It'll find it. Speaking of smart speakers, later we are going to play for you the Superfans Brett Favre bit
so great.
That they did in advance of the 100th anniversary game tomorrow night. And wowee.
Turns out Bears fans have their own smart speaker that supplies you with interesting data that sort of skews Bears on all things.
Yes, it's great. It's really perfect. All right, Richard Roper, let's get some reviewing in.
Yeah, a couple of big movies I want to talk to you guys about. One, a big commercial movie. Another, a big movie in terms of, I think, very interesting topic. Let's start with It Chapter 2. Now, we were just here 2 years ago when the film adaptation of Stephen King's huge in more ways than one, like 8 million page and very successful novel. They adapted that for television years ago, and they finally did a movie version a couple of years ago, which was only made for $30 million. They didn't really know, you know, because Stephen King, you know, they either turn into great movies like Misery and Shawshank Redemption and Christine, or they kind of, it's just hard to capture horror, especially because he does it in such a smart and different way. Then the thing made like $600 million in profit.
Wow.
Big ratings, great, you know, reviews. So they immediately went to work on It Chapter 2. Here's the basic story for people who don't know. It's set in the town of Derry, Maine, a small town where every 27 years or so, a clown named Pennywise resurfaces and starts taking the lives of the little children in the town. And Pennywise has been around for some 500 years, a very evil entity. It starts off with a little boy chasing his paper boat down the street as it's going in the rain, you know, through the curb and into the sewer, and he reaches for the boat, and we never see that little boy again until much, much later, and he's not in good shape. Now, in the original, it's a two-part story. In the original, the kids who banded together to fight the clown, they called themselves the Losers Club because it was the bully, it was the overweight kid, it was the little girl who was being abused by her father, all of these kids who had all these problems and overcame them and banded together to destroy Pennywise the clown. They made a pledge. If Pennywise ever came back to their hometown, no matter where they were, they would band together, reunite to take down the clown again. So the second part of the movie is set 27 years later in present day. So they're all around 40 years old now. The grown-up versions of the kids. They've scattered far and wide, but now they've gotten the call from the one member of the group who stayed in town saying Pennywise is back. So now we've got Jessica Chastain as the grown-up version of one of the kids, Bill Hader as the grown-up version of one of the kids. And this is a clip of them all talking about getting the call from their one friend saying they got to come back to fight Pennywise.
When Mike called me, I threw up.
When Mike called me, I crashed my car.
Seriously?
Yeah.
Man, I hear you. I mean, my heart was literally like pounding right out of my chest.
I thought it was only me.
It was like pure fear. It's fear. Why'd we all feel like that, Mike?
You remember something we don't you, Mike?
Something happens to you when you leave this town. Farther away, the hazier it all gets. But me, I never left. So yeah, I remember all of it.
Pennywise.
It's never good when Pennywise comes back. Bill Skarsgård, who is the brother of Alexander Skarsgård and the son of Stellan Skarsgård. He plays the clown, and it's brilliant. I like this film, and I'm giving it 3 stars. Now, I'm not giving it 4 stars, which I gave to the first half, even though it's equally well-made, and the story about the clown is equally terrifying. The reason I didn't find it as impactful and as visceral and as emotional is when you're watching 12-year-olds battle evil personified. Yeah. You just root for them and you feel for them so much. When it's Bill Hader and Jessica Chastain and they're 40, there's a part of you that wants to say, oh, just punch the clown. It's a clown.
Hey,
even though it's more than just a clown.
All right.
So that's the big difference there, I think, that it's just hard, you know, you're not quite as invested when the little kids band together. You're so identifying with them. And now it's a bunch of grown-ups against the clown. Makes it more of a standard horror film. It's about 2 hours and 40 minutes,
ooh,
by the way. They don't mess. I mean, they take their time kind of telling everybody's story, and they have all these amazing set pieces and special effects. But mainly it is still the story of, you know, they're still haunted by the demons. The clown preys on whatever really scares you or haunted you the most, and still does to this day. And that's always a very, you know, kind of clever way to have evil. Evil that gets inside your head.
So this wasn't part of the original book, which
it
is super long.
Book, it is still the book was still both halves. Yeah, and they made the smart decision when they made the movie. They're like, let's not try to cram all of this into one movie. Let's tell the kid's story. It's a perfect way to end it. Because the first movie, if you never saw the second movie, it's like, that's great. That's the story of the 11, 12-year-old kids who defeated Pennywise the Clown. But, you know, if you read the book, you realize he does come back 20 years later, and you have to battle them again. And one of the strange things is they kind of have forgotten about it because it's been erased, kind of like a trauma, and now it's all coming back to them. And man, there's some, don't even think, if you take your kids to this movie,
Pennywise the DCFS
clown should come visit you, actually, because it is really, really intense. And that's the thing, in both of these movies, there are times when, in, you know, within the reality of the movie, little kids are killed by the clown. Oh, it's not just, oh, they get scared or they get taken away. And it's horrifying when it happens. You know?
Yeah.
It happens a couple of times in this movie as it did in the original. I mean, when Pennywise the clown takes the little kid, they don't go to a place and then come back one day, I'm saved. It's not like an Avengers movie where time stood still. They're dead. That, I mean, he's that evil. He you know, literally feeds on children's souls.
Oh.
And that's what makes it terrifying. If not, he doesn't just dance in your face and squirt a water balloon at you, you know.
Does he do any clown stuff? I didn't see that.
Well, he, I mean, Pennywise, the image of Pennywise, he's one of the creepiest looking monster clowns in movie history. You'll see a lot of people in Halloween costumes this fall. Don't do that.
I can't do clowns.
You might find yourself in the wrong position where people haven't seen the movie. Because, I mean, you know, the makeup on this guy and the special effects, he's the creepiest clown ever. Even his red balloon is evil, believe it or not. There's a way the red balloon kind of turns sort of evil.
I'm not afraid of many things, but the clown thing, that really gets me. That's why I've avoided those. I don't know. Is it growing up with John Wayne Gacy and that kind of thing? I mean, you know, I don't know. That or so history. Maybe it's a common thing.
It is a common thing.
Yeah. I mean, it is. I mean, some people just cannot handle the clown.
No.
Well, when you look at, you know, for you know, dating back for centuries, some of the makeup and, you know, antics of the clown, they're pretty evil, you know, even when they're messing with kids. There's something kind of vindictive about a lot of clowns.
Ooh.
I just know that Bozo picked me up by my collarbone once.
Again, yeah.
That was
see? Haunting.
That's all I needed to know about the clown.
Get over here, kid.
Right. I got lost on the set. I was in the game at the end of the Bozo Circus.
Of course you were.
Yes.
Of course you were.
And
Rose's version of it.
Yeah.
I wish we had video of this.
And it was, you know what? It's funny because I tried to figure out a way to do it, to find it. We did try this, but they were like, are you kidding me? At Channel 9? They're like, no, we don't have that.
Yeah, too bad.
The museum might have it. I don't know, but it, so I'm, it was 19, I'll never forget it, was the fall of 1972. And the game was a ping pong ball in a plastic cup. And you'd have to, how many times could you tip it, you know, like drop the ball out of the cup and then pick it up with the cup and, you know, just keep going, right? And that was, because they
didn't. Simple enough?
Yeah, simple. And it was a famous ping pong ball because it was the one from the grand prize game. Yeah.
Sure was.
So anyway, mine got away from me after the first one, of course. And I ran behind a set piece at Channel 9. I think I'm 8 or 7 or something, right? I don't even know what I am. 8, I guess. And the thing is just, it's like, you know, getting away, and I get behind, and the next thing I know, I feel on my clavicle, I feel 2 fingers in a white glove. And it's Bozo literally picking me up with one hand from my clavicle and placing me back in the camera shot. And I'm like, ow, ow! You know, it's like it was bad.
He's hurting me.
Mother, get him. Have him arrested. I can just picture it.
Giant clown with and size 20 shoes coming after him.
Right, and me wearing a blue blazer and a captain's hat. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Penny loafers. Or picture it.
You dress like Thurston Howell. Yeah. Oh. Yeah, that was really mm-hmm. something.
Jeez.
See?
Mm-hmm. Scarier
these
than
are where clown things come from.
Richard Roper is brought to us by Archideck of Chicagoland, by the way, in case anybody's wondering. They're proud. All right, let's get to the other stuff. We'll get to the Morgan Spurlock follow-up to Supersize Me.
Yeah.
He's got Supersize Me 2, Holy Chicken. And you also are going to tell us about this kind of a rather interesting concept here. Keira Knightley as a real-life British intelligence agent. Who in 2003 went public with documents.
Mm.
We're going to talk about that.
I like the premise.
And right now, let me do this while we're here, and then we'll come back and more of Richard Roper. But caller number 34 at 312-981-7200 wins a $50 gift certificate to Bartolini's Restaurant. Family-owned and operated, the best Italian cuisine in Chicagoland. Shipping to all 50 states, home of the Bartolini 10-pound meatball sandwich challenge. Their newly renovated bar and dining room offers 24 beers on tap, including many local brews. Visit Bartolini's.com. All right. Caller number 34, 312-981-7200. All right. Let's check in now with Kim Gordon. What's going on in the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom?
More legal wrangling today in the cases of R. Kelly and Jesse Smollett. We'll have the details coming up.
Rokan Show with Anna DeVlantis. Richard Roper is here. And he's doing his reviewing. It, the sequel, It Chapter 2.
It Chapter 2. 3 stars for It Chapter 2.
Did not 100% love it. Pretty grisly. Don't take your kids.
Yeah, more admired than really got into it. We'll talk about Supersize Me 2. It's been almost 15 years since. Remember Supersize Me? Morgan Spurlock did the experiment where he ate nothing but McDonald's food for 30 days. And, you know, it was a brilliant way to show what that will do to you. And he's kind of a performer in the vein of Michael Moore, kind of an engaging on-air presence. So when he did that documentary, it became a big hit, kind of launched him to a sort of celebrity filmmaker status. And spoiler alert, by eating McDonald's food for 30 days, he gained like 20 pounds, his cholesterol skyrocketed, he could no longer function in his marriage, so to speak, and he became very depressed. Now he's got Supersize Me 2, Holy Chicken. And again, a very clever stunt. This time out, the guy who's been kind of battling the fast food world for 15 years decides he's going to open his own chicken franchise in Columbus, Ohio, and call it Holy Chicken. So it's a great way for him to kind of get inside the whole inner workings of the fast food industry. And especially the chicken, as we just saw with the Popeyes craze. Chicken has surpassed beef as the most consumed fast food in America, which is kind of incredible when you think about it.
Yeah.
It surpassed the hamburger. There are 21 billion chickens on the earth right now, something like that. And many of them don't make it all the way to old chickenhood age, as you may know. So as you would expect from this movie, you see the obligatory scenes where you get the little teeny cute baby chicks are born. And in just 6 weeks, they are super chickens. They have perfected the artificial growth of these beasts to 6 weeks, these poor birds, before they're slaughtered. And then he's got some side-by-side. Here's a normal chicken born on a farm, hatched on a farm. Here's an artificially grown chicken. It's like 4 times the size. It looks like Tony Mandarich when he was like the offensive lineman, like the first guy to really kind of blow up. So and of course this means these poor chickens, I mean, they have heart attacks, they die of all kinds of horrible ways before they're even slaughtered. What I found even more interesting, because we've seen a lot of that kind of stuff, we kind of know that you don't want to know what's going on with big chicken with Peter Tyson and all that.
Yeah, no.
But he really digs deep and dives deep into the whole marketing advertising thing, which we all kind of know is happening, but we all fall for it. All these terms like organic and no additives.
Free range.
Free range, which has no legal definition whatsoever, means nothing. Free range means nothing.
It's kind of a vision in your mind.
Natural. The fact that, you know, a lot of things come in those brown wrappers, which make us feel like, oh, that must be recycled somehow or organic. Even the terms that are used, you know, heart healthy. The healthy halo they put around stuff, you know, like the market stuff. Almost none of that is regulated. Almost all of that is pure marketing. So when he opens his chicken restaurant, he has full transparency. So, like, the walls are painted in that kind of avocado green and, like, in that kind of fun, scripty, you know, cursive type of thing. It says, this wall has been painted a lively shade of green to make you feel like you're in a healthy place. You're not. This meal, and he has a picture of the sandwich, will be all of your calories for the entire day. You know, so he goes with the kind of transparent thing. So here's a little clip where some people are talking about how these terms really mean nothing, but really work on us.
My free-range, cage-free, no hormones added, humanely raised, natural chickens can get the USDA's seal of approval.
Sounds amazing.
Until you start to realize how much of that is labeling.
They've been health-washing the dirty, unhealthy truth.
Fresh green herbs give a health halo.
The term fried has evolved to crispy.
Artificial grill marks.
You can paint them on with dark food coloring.
How healthy are our sandwiches? I think that answers my question.
And they really do that. They, you know, you get your grilled chicken and go, oh, look at that. They can paint the grill marks on them. And I guess I knew that thing about crispy, but didn't. That's all that means. No, they'll never say fried anywhere now, except for maybe in the South, because it's become such a dirty word. I don't want to, you know, that's why Kentucky Fried Chicken is now KFC. Mm-hmm. To get the fried, and they just say crispy. And every single chain he went to, he'd ask, what's your most popular dish? The crispy chicken sandwich. What's the healthiest? The grilled chicken. What do people always get? The crispy. So 3 stars for Supersize Me 2, mainly because I think it's really fascinating to see how we're being manipulated. Even though we know we're being manipulated, we're still being even manipulated even more than we think.
Excellent. And then finally, Kieran Knightley is a real-life British intelligence agent. True story here?
Yeah, I'm giving 2.5 stars to Official Secrets. It's very well done. I think if you could write a book about it, it'd be more interesting. She's working for the British government in 2003. She starts seeing memos where the U.S. government is enlisting the Brits' help in blackmailing UN Security Council members into voting for the Iraq War. And then she eventually is tried for basically treason, the version of treason in Britain. It's all a true story. It's very all the president's men. It should have more urgency to it. It's all true. It all really happened. She was a brave patriot for her country because she didn't want them to lie to get us into that war we never should have gotten into. So if you're interested in that stuff in particular, it's well made. It should be faster paced, I thought. 2.5 stars.
All right. Well, you've laid it all out perfectly for us.
Yeah, a little bit of everything.
Quite a range.
Thank you very much. Yeah. We got a top 5 of 5 coming your way after the news in 2 minutes. Rob Khan Show with Anna DeBlantis on 720 WGN. And if it's the 5 o'clock hour, it's...
We know what it is.
Yeah, it's important that we do something right. 5 o'clock related.
It's the top 5 on the Rob Khan Show.
5.
Let's go.
4, 3, 2, 1.
Now, it's the top 5 at 5 on the Rob Khan Show with Anna DeVlantis. Sponsored by the Hip and Knee Center, where they help you feel new again.
Ready?
Yes.
Yes.
Get on with it.
All right.
Number 5.
The mayor, along with the park district superintendent, because, you know, they own the Soldier Field.
Mm-hmm.
And the Roger Goodell, you know him?
We do.
He's Robert Kraft's personal assistant.
Uh-huh. His wife's from here.
NFL players, students from Collins High School, and members of the community were there for the league's 100-season kickoff. In honor of its centennial, the NFL hosted a Huddle for 100 day of service in Douglas Park. Huddle for 100 is a call to action for volunteers to donate 100 minutes of their time to shape what communities will look like in the next 100 years. That does not seem like enough.
100 days?
Right, it's 100 minutes.
I don't know if
it's 100 minutes. It's 100 minutes. So that's literally an hour and 40 minutes. That's all you got to volunteer.
And then you transform your community.
For 100 years. I don't know. This sounds like something Roger Goodell would come up with. It sounded like a good idea at NFL HQ in New York City when they came up with it.
This is a great place to celebrate the game of football because it means so much to this community. And when we were talking about where we wanted to start our 100th season, Chicago came right to the top of the list immediately. And so to all of you, thank you for your passion for the game. Thank you for having us. Mm-hmm. Thank you for the work that's been done around this event. You're going to be showcased in front of tens of millions of people tomorrow night around our kickoff game. And we can't think of any better place to do it than right here in Chicago. So thank you for all you've done for us.
So they're going to showcase them.
Aren't we always showcased? I mean, you know, don't tens of millions of people watch these games anyway? And then isn't Chicago always on?
But they're going to talk about the giving back portion of this, transforming your community for the next 100 years.
By doing it for 100 minutes.
That'll be showcased.
All right, then. Okay. I do plenty of community service as a result of what the judge told me I had to do. Mm-hmm. All right, here we go.
Court mandated.
Number four.
Bernie Sanders, now he's in this climate change thing that CNN's doing.
Oh, he's part of the, it's right, they're rotating through the Democrats and their climate change positions.
10 Democrats. 40 minutes apiece. 400 minutes of climate change talk on CNN.
Will they transform?
Sanders. Buttigieg. I don't know. Whoever the announcer at CNN loves saying Buttigieg.
Sounds like a WWE match kind of thing.
Warren. Sanders. Biden. Buttigieg.
From downtown.
Sort of
he's like a former sports broadcaster.
Right, exactly.
He's really into it. I'm going to approach this like a heavyweight title match.
Anyway, this is not why we called. Bernie Sanders, you know, he didn't like the climate in the room when he was at an event earlier today, and he was talking about old people having to cut their pills in half, and a baby started screaming, and look out!
Warren, thank you very much. And Linda, thank you very much. Because it's not easy getting up in front of a TV camera and talk about it. Why do I hear you correctly say that you have to cut your pills in half yourself? Okay. If we could keep that down a little bit. Okay, pass it.
Telling the baby to keep it down a little bit. Bernie can't hear. Right.
Old
poor
man.
Guy.
Old man to get the whole thing. Well, that baby did. First of all, that was a good sound effect for that. So you have to cut your pills in half? Is that what I understood? And then all of a sudden a baby's screaming at the top of its lungs and being like, oh my God, what's happened to my America? Even though I'm just 6 months old.
I'm already worried about coming into this world. Can you keep that down a little bit? So, I mean, how does any parent who's ever have a baby, how do you keep that down a little bit?
Well, I had the baby 120 years ago. I don't really remember how that went.
I guess you can leave the room, but I thought they're supposed to kiss babies, the politicians.
No, I am going to yell at the babies.
Too loud.
That's what I'm going to do. Oh, man.
You have to cut your pills in half yourself. We can keep that down a little bit. Okay.
And get off my lawn. Exactly.
Can't you control your baby? Why do I have to come in here and all I want to do is have a nice lunch / dinner? And I don't want to be bothered by a baby screaming in the restaurant. Shouldn't there be a place just to take screaming babies?
Leave your babies at home.
Yeah. Please leave your babies at home.
He did not say which would not be good.
Do not bring them to my rallies. Oh, man.
Keep your baby screeching
to
a minimum.
Hey, Bernie, I mean, even though you're 150 years old, listen, you have people young enough to have a baby at your rallies.
That's surprising.
There are a lot of politicians that don't have that. They can't bring their great-grandchildren to the rallies because their great-grandchildren are 40. All right. We'll get to your three, your two, and your one. But first, let's check in with Kim. What's coming up at the bottom of the hour?
Michigan's one step closer to banning e-cigarettes. We'll explain coming up.
Catch Living Healthy Chicago this Saturday at 9 a.m. Learn about the struggles and successes of everyday Chicagoans with health and fitness. Living Healthy Saturday at 9 a.m. on WGN-TV.
Yeah, who is it?
Living Healthy? I thought you said you went to one of those healthy places today and you didn't like it. You were criticizing everything about the meal. Korean barbecue wasn't Korean enough.
Right, it wasn't. I don't know. Is that racist for me to say that? Yeah. It was. I had to eat it with bamboo. I don't know. There was a lot going on.
Green drinks.
It was right across from work, and I thought, you know what? I haven't gone in here in a long time.
Mm-hmm. I know the place you're talking about.
I'm
going to
go in, and I'm going to try something healthy. I mean, I'm a bit of a health kick here. I know it's going to work out great.
Everything we had last night was healthy, so you're good there.
Nachos. I thought that was...
With the squirt cheese on it, which I love.
Yeah.
And chicken wings and quesadillas.
Anyway, the point is that so I wanted to do something for myself today, and I go into this restaurant, and it turns out that my Korean spicy chicken wasn't Korean nor spicy. And I'm not even sure it was chicken. All right, continue on.
Number three.
In Australia, a vegan, speaking of this, has taken her neighbors to the Supreme Court demanding that they stop smoking, bouncing balls, and cooking barbecues in the backyard. Scylla Carden says that the legal beef started last year when she, as a vegan, claimed her neighbors were grilling, and that ruined her quality of life.
I can't enjoy my backyard. I can't go out there. They've put it so you smell fish. All I smell is fish. It's been devastating. It's been a turmoil. There's been unrest. I haven't been able to sleep.
Do you think they're doing this on purpose?
Oh, absolutely. Of course they are. It's deliberate. That's what I said to the court. It's deliberate.
How much you want to bet she's single?
Classic Australia.
Oh, God, I hope she is. Because that poor SOB. Oh, my God. All right. Yeah, there you go. She smells fish.
She might like to go to that lunch place you went to today.
Right.
She'd be happy there.
Right.
She wouldn't complain.
Quinoa was too crazy for these people today. They had to give me minced cauliflower instead.
Minced cauliflower.
Because, the quinoa is not sustainable enough. The cauliflower just grows forever. I don't know.
I don't know
what goes on with all of this. And it's like, I'm like, I wanted a Korean barbecue, which is the best. I don't know if you've ever had Korean barbecue, but I'm just going to tell you, it's sweeping the nation. It's just the best.
I thought cauliflower was. Oprah's put it in her crust for her pizzas now.
Right. Well, I ended up with the most disappointing set of circumstances. And again, as a middle-aged white privileged man, mm-hmm. I do not expect this.
No.
I'm going to write a strongly worded letter, and I'm going to have these people deported.
Take them to the Supreme Court.
That's what I'm going to do.
You're going to march in there in your penny loafers and give them a what for.
Right. I'm going to tell them that I want that I would like them out of the country. And they'll say, well, we were born here. It does not matter. You have offended me, and I want you out of my country. Country's full. That's what the president told me.
Everyone will drop their avocado toasts on the spot. Who is this man?
And I don't
want a lawsuit there. Get Mike Monaco.
I don't want a black bean bowl. I'm not interested in a black bean bowl.
Number two.
These are real problems.
I will have a white bean bowl. All right, where am I at here? All right, sometimes it's okay to hold back information because there are some things about your general public should not know. I think that's true. But we have an interesting situation here. Conan O'Brien did this Conan Without Borders special where he traveled to Greenland to ask about the president's plan to buy Greenland. And he was discussing this with Anderson Cooper last night. And things went a little, well.
Someone should go there. Someone responsible should go to Greenland, kick the tires on this deal, and see if we can make it happen.
Yeah.
So I jumped on a plane, and I got there, and I looked into it, because that's what I do.
Yeah. By the way, I should point out, I was in Greenland years ago doing a story on climate change. I pooped in a shigloo. Have you ever done that? That's what, you know, an igloo.
Are you okay, Anderson? Is it the beard? What's going on with you? Are you having a breakdown of some kind? What's wrong with you? By the way, it looks good. You look like a very tidy wizard.
He was trying to save him from telling the story.
What did happen to Anderson?
We didn't, he pooped in a shigloo.
Do we have to know that?
Did he try to pull the comedy card or something and try and make him laugh because he's the funny guy? Like that was cringeworthy.
Yeah, is that really the term for like an outhouse igloo? I've never heard that term before.
So. Where else are you gonna go?
That's awesome.
I got to go to the shigloo. Now, is there a big M and a W on the shigloo? Do we know which one, or is it unisex? Like the bathroom at the place I had to go to today.
Gender neutral.
That had the, right. go to the bathroom. I'm sorry. Do you have genitalia? Because if you do, you're not allowed inside the bathroom. Are you enjoying your faux Korean barbecue?
It might be confusing if you see sort of a native Inuit or something, and what their silhouette looks like might not be immediately clear. Like, where do you go?
Right. You're right. Well, okay. Well, that's Anderson Cooper.
Anyway, that was oversharing for sure.
Yes. And finally.
Number one.
All right. You know, we've had some good comedy over the last couple of weeks. Drop. Yeah, the Chappelle special, which is very special. But this is about as good as it gets. George Wendt and Robert Smigel reprised their roles as superfans from Saturday Night Live. And they've done a couple of different videos for the 100th anniversary of the NFL. This one could go down in history. This is the superfans meeting with Brett Favre. Take a little listen.
The Packers won 5 championships in 7 years and 2 Super Bowls.
Very sad. That is fake news, fake my friend.
Well, that's what happened.
Yeah, well, let's ask the computer about that.
Yeah, good idea. There we go.
Now, that's Mary Pat. Mary Pat, why don't you tell us who won the NFL title in the 60s?
In the 1960s, the Bears prevailed, winning the first 2 Super Bowls and hoisting up the Ditka Trophy.
The Ditka Trophy? It's the Lombardi Trophy.
Please, do not question the great man's powers.
Oh my God,
so I good. Love that their smart speaker's name is Mary Pat.
I love that too.
That is right. So perfect. That's right out of. I think the Smuggles stole that from the Rokon Show with Anna DeVlantis.
We talk about it all the time. We're like, hey, where's Mary Pat? Mary Kate.
Right. Because
Mary Joe.
Timmy, Mikey, Joey.
Uh huh. Certain neighborhoods. These are the names
right.
You have.
Tommy, Timmy, and Mike. Their sisters: Mary Pat, Mary Frances, Mary Kate.
Uh huh.
Mary Elizabeth. And then finally, Mary.
And what I like is even when you're 50, you're still Mikey and Danny, and you know, you still have that name.
That's right.
Right? You don't outgrow it. It's still the same.
Tommy.
Tommy. Where's Tommy? He's 75, but
okay,
he's Tommy.
I have a friend who's 55 years old, and he's Tommy. He's still Tommy.
I know.
He's a professional. He goes by nice. Thomas sometimes as a professional.
Because he has to.
Right, but nobody in his
he goes to a barbecue on Labor Day. He's Tommy.
He's got gray hair. Hey, Tommy, listen.
Because half of them are juniors, so that's how you identify him. Are you talking about the dad or are you talking about his son? There's James and there's Jimmy. And there's Jim.
Uh-huh.
Wait, there's more There's more Mary Pat in this.
I was 22-10 against the Bears.
That doesn't sound right.
Not accurate.
No. Mary Pat?
Mary Pat.
Brett Favre's record was -1-33 versus the Bears.
The Bears.
Right. That's how I remember it, too. It's great.
So this thing here doesn't recognize any of my achievements.
Of course it does, Jim Bob. Mary Pat, what are the Bumpkins' greatest records?
Brett Favre threw an almost impossible 336 career interceptions, often in crucial situations.
Answer. That's nothing to sneeze at, Dale Jr.
It's perfect. It represents all Bears fandom. Because that's how we remember it.
Often in crucial situations.
It's absolutely perfect.
Oh, my God.
That had Packer fans cracking up. We all watched it last night. It was so funny.
Brett Favre is a tremendous actor. He was good at just sitting there, just kind of talking to these guys and not busting up laughing.
Oh, God. All right.
You got to go check that out. Full thing. It's beautiful.
Exactly right. Exactly right. All right. We've got. Let's close this thing up. We got news coming your way in about 2 minutes.
The top 5 at 5.
Rokon Show with Anna DeBlantis right here on 720 WGN. All right. We talked earlier today. I'm having we're on WGN everywhere, aren't we, right now? We're on the World Wide Web. Thank you for being here with us. I have interpersonal crisis today.
Well, yeah, I know.
Significant
interpersonal. You started the show. You seemed very agitated. You were worried. You have these tickets for the Bears game tomorrow night.
Right. So I was able to, my group of guys I go to the games with. I've been, going with them for 15 years to these games, maybe longer. We got the tickets.
Mm-hmm.
Finally, we're able to cobble together some tickets. But nobody can sit with anybody else. We're all like individual between
single seats.
Yeah, friends and season ticket holders that that we knew. And then apparently some other kind of situation. So we, the two of us will be together, you know, like in bed. This one will be two, like a pair, right?
Okay.
Of tickets. So my friend's brother got the tickets. We're all friends. Mm-hmm. It's Timmy and Tommy. So Timmy and Tommy got the tickets. So I'm going to sit with Tommy.
Okay. Timmy's by himself.
Timmy's with another group of guys.
Okay.
Right? And we're just going to try to find each other at halftime. That's the best we can possibly do at this point. But, you know, it's the 100th anniversary. What are you going to do? So Tommy sends me pictures of the tickets that he got. And
like, hey, I got them.
I got them. We're good. Yeah, we got them.
All right.
Right? And then I get on the phone with Timmy. And I'm like, why is Tommy sending me hard tickets? We don't do hard tickets anymore for the Bears.
Because they're all mobile.
Right.
There was like big press releases that this season was going to be entirely mobile tickets.
Right.
And you got paper tickets.
And I got paper tickets. So now I tell Timmy, I'm like, Timmy, call Tommy and tell Tommy that these are mobile tickets. I don't know if these are real tickets. So we looked at the tickets. And, you know, if you look at them, I mean, the Bear on the tickets... The Bear is looking off into the distance in some other way. The Bear looks sad on the ticket.
Weird Bear.
Yeah.
Not one we usually associate with the Chicago Bears.
Shifty Bear for a shifty ticket.
Yeah. It is sort of a shifty Bear. The Bear looks like it's up to something.
And it looks like a movie ticket from the 1980s.
It doesn't have really like fine edges.
No.
It looks a little,
There's no hologram or shiny parts.
No.
It looks like cut from scissors.
But you got tickets. Paper tickets.
So Mad Max is going to join. He was a ticket broker to the Stars for many, many, many years.
Oh, totally.
Why is this? From Gold Coast Tickets. And, all right, so can you just explain, for people who are going to the game, that if you bought tickets and somebody tried to hand you paper tickets, like hard tickets, are those good, do you think?
You know what? There's very few hard tickets out there. They're basically the people that do have them would be the Chicago Bears themselves,
yeah,
or a seasoned ticket holder that doesn't have a smartphone. And the only way you could get in was to get the hard tickets. And I've experienced, you know, we've been around 25 years. So out of all our seasoned ticket holders, maybe very few, maybe three, four of them, I've seen hard tickets. And the tickets that you did send me, I examined them, and yes, those are the real ones. They have a chip inside them. That's where that RFID is, where Tap here.
So that's a real ticket.
Special tickets. Yeah, so you're looking at a lot of people if they go. They're in row one in their yard line right off the 50 yard line. So they're not bad seats in the upper level. At least you're not with God in row 36 or 37.
Yeah.
So, you know, you're going to have a great time. It's a home opener. The NFL has hyped it up so much right now with Betty White, with Brett Favre on those commercials.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I'm now finally feeling the action. I mean, before, yeah, we felt it. But when it comes to crunch time right now, I mean, we're only down to 25 tickets left. And that's
not
a lot for us.
You have 25 tickets.
That's it for Gold Coast. Except I do have one thing. One guy backed out on a suite. So we have a whole suite that we have to get rid of.
Oh,
so
wow.
I don't know who's going to buy that.
What is that going for?
What would you say the number is on that kind of
thing? Well, you know, the face value on it was like $28,000. We're going to probably have to sell it for less money and take whatever we can get on that. So, you know, I mean, you know what? You can't find a customer that late planning and stuff like that. So, or you never know. Our whole office goes to the game in the suite.
I'll take it off your hands for $200.
Uncle Ro would take us all to the game.
I got no problem.
There you take it.
All right, so
I got to tell you, this game is better than a playoff game. I mean, it's amazing the demand, I think, because warm weather, NFL kickoff, the whole works. Because usually my home opener are never this great. But being Green Bay, and everybody wants to be there, seems like.
How many of the people are Green Bay fans who are coming to you?
You know what? I can't really tell as much, but I have seen some people, you know, with the Wisconsin numbers call and come in. And so there will be Green Bay. I think mostly will be Bears fans. be honest with you.
Okay.
Right, so in terms of the 25 tickets that you have left, what is the most expensive ticket, and where is it, and what's the least expensive ticket?
The least expensive, some upper level, is like at $325, so not that bad of a price compared to some other people out there. And then I think our most expensive ticket, club level on the 50-yard line, and really not even that bad, like $309, I think row 16, 17, like $895. Oh. Compared to some of these other tickets I've seen out there, like $1,500 a ticket.
Yeah,
you know?
I've seen those.
It's like this. When it's crunch time, we like to get out. We're our new motto in this day and age of tickets with the exaggerated face values and stuff is that most of the time we like to be out of tickets most of the time, you know, like a day ahead of time or at least six hours. In the old days, we used to wheel and deal all the way to then. But nowadays, we like to get out of it and make sure we're all complete and done.
Well, let's talk about that, because there will be, I've noticed on the websites, you know, the reseller websites, the big ones, that there are people selling, you know, four at a time in the 100 level section at $1,500 a copy or $1,800 a copy, whatever it is, right? And so if those guys don't sell, when do you think that number starts to come down? Or do they just end up going to the game?
Well, there's a lot of people, what they do is they wait it out all the way to the end and see what happens and go with the market then. This game here is kind of like the New England game last year, I would rate it, because everyone wanted to go see Tom Brady.
Yep.
And that market
I was there.
Oh, it was a good one. Mm-hmm. And it kept up all the way through. I'm seeing with me that I'm not getting stuck, so I don't know what the secondary market is. I see how many is left on StubHub. Their number's coming down. I see that Ticketmaster has put more seats in there, but they don't sell them at regular price anymore. They sell them at outrageous pricing. So, you know, we always try to get the consumer the best deal that we can for the price. So, you know, it's hard to do it when we see, you know, in the old days, we used to catch releases, buy them, and resell them. We can't really do that nowadays because the pricing is just way too high.
Max, about the rest of the Bears season, we're talking about the great Mad Max Weiss. When you have a name like Mad Max, you have to be what you have to be from Gold Coast Tickets. When you look at the rest of the Bears season, are there other big tickets that people are, you know, very interested in, some of the top teams?
Well, you know what? If you look at the season, every game is a good game. Yeah. Really, you know, I mean, you got New Orleans, you got the Dallas, you got Kansas City, you got the Chargers. You got so many Minnesota Vikings. I mean, maybe the weakest game looks like Detroit Lions or something. But it all depends on what they do opening game. You know, that's the start. You win, we're going to have a good season starting right off the bat.
Yeah, I agree.
You lose, people are going to get low down, and you don't know what the pricing is going to be. But everyone is so hyped on this season because of last year. And, you know, you look at our defense, great. You know, you don't know exactly what the quarterback's going to do for the Bears yet and then see how he gets proven. So we'll have to see what happens.
All I know is I'm going to the game now. Turns out it wasn't.
Yeah.
Turns out that I was looking at that ticket going, oh, my God, the Bears got a funny expression on its face.
We had so many listeners tell us, they, you know, the tickets, paper tickets, really don't exist anymore. And you're explaining to us the reason is because they're so rare to come across them these days. They're all mobile.
Yeah, they want the mobile because they figure that will be the best way that every consumer gets into the game that is an official ticket. I think the only way they would ever have paper tickets is if there was some that were held back and they had to sell them at the box office for some reason. That's how I look at it. Or internally with the Bears themselves, if they print up a paper ticket and give it to some of their internal staff or VIPs and stuff.
Okay, so as it turns out, as we're talking about this, I just heard back from the Bears about this.
Mm-hmm.
And they said they're mobile only now, but there are a couple of exceptions. And the television network has asked for paper tickets for some reason. Hmm. So that there may have been like 100 paper tickets printed for the TV network.
Oh.
Because they want to go out and make, that's how they're going to go out and make their profit. They're going to sell
those 6,000
bucks. Yeah, exactly. Go to the tailgate and do it. So that's what they're doing. And they would like also, they're reminding me to remind you.
Okay.
That enter the stadium early Mm-hmm. Prepare for traffic, and also because people are using their mobile app now, right. They're all mobile, you know, make sure that your phone is charged up, make sure you know how to find your mobile ticket,
mm-hmm.
and if you're bringing in a bunch of people in on your mobile ticket, know how to swipe across, practice at home, makes perfect.
And your clear plastic bags,
yes.
With your stuff in it.
And there's going to be a ton of street closures because of all the other stuff that's going on here, too.
And then no umbrellas, as you pointed out. Not that you're going to need it, but what's the other stuff it says on the ticket? Here goes, no cans, and no. I'm looking at your ticket, no bottles, no smoking.
Right, so we got all that.
Yeah.
All right, Mad Max, thank you, my friend. Appreciate it every time you're on with
us. Thank you, Max.
Hey, no problem. My pleasure all the time.
Thanks.
Take care and have a great time at the game.
Thank you
Bye very much.
There's Max Weiss.
I love how his business has the, you got a guy, is his tagline.
Yeah.
You got a guy.
They're great at what they do.
They
now, it's a different world, right? It's all changed because
changed.
You just go on the interwebs and with electronic tickets and stuff. So the old school ticket brokers. But every once in a while, when you have to find something.
Right.
Their edge is that they can find something and they can also find a way to get you a ticket. Probably a little less than the people are really trying to gouge you for.
Well, and you can talk to a human, so you can kind of figure out some stuff. You know, like, hey, you know, this is, you want to go to a show, they can tell you which one's the best ones to go to, which is the best places to sit, and, you know, they know stuff.
Yeah.
It's kind of, I have dealt with them before. Good stuff.
They're real good over by there.
Yeah, they are.
It's
you got
life.
A guy.
Mm-hmm. All right, can we go back? Can we play the super fans thing?
Because
I want to play this. I can't. It just doesn't
so
get
great.
Funnier than this. This is, and I'm doing this just for Kim because it is really
so
great.
I so appreciate it.
Yes,
because making fun of Brett Favre is fun
mm-hmm.
in front of Packers fans.
Right, because Brett Favre, you know, Brett Favre did the unspeakable. I'm sorry, he just did. They didn't bring that up. Thank God, because the NFL doesn't want to talk about that particular moment. That little issue we had, and I mean that in every sense of the word. All right, here we go. Here are the super fans and Brett Favre.
The 100th anniversary season of the NFL will kick off right here with the Packers and the Bears. In just a few days, Soldier Field will be filled with tailgating fans ready to watch another chapter in this amazing rivalry. I'm going to talk about that history with some fans who are already here.
Well, look at this now.
I thought I smelled some aged cheese. Have a seat. Join us. You've got to be some kind of a masochist to come back here, my friend.
Easy there, Pat. He probably doesn't know what that word means playing his whole career in Green Bay.
Right.
It's great.
And they're eating. This is the best part.
They're chomping on, like, what is it?
Piles and piles of ribs and chicken wings.
Ribs.
You know, as a Packer, I brought you guys a little peace offering.
Whoa. What, are you trying to kill us there, Favre?
You guys don't like pork chops?
Not the pork chops, my friend. It's this little carb monster here.
Get rid of that poison.
To carry
a full keto diet here, my friend.
Fix that.
There we go. That's much better.
There was a close call.
They almost ate a carrot.
They put a piece of bacon in its place.
Full keto. I'm just here to celebrate the 100th birthday of the NFL.
Well, it's the Bears' centennial this year, too. The creation of the Bears is one of those events that has changed the world.
Packers started in 1919, so they had their centennial last year.
Yeah, 1919 was an historically atrocious year because it saw the birth of the two great evils of the 20th century, the Packers and Prohibition.
It happens to be true.
The Packers won 5 championships in 7 years and 2 Super Bowls.
Very sad. That is fake news,
fake
my
news.
Friend.
Well, that's what happened.
Yeah, well, let's ask the computer about that.
Yeah, good idea. Here we go.
Now, that's Mary Pat. Mary Pat, why don't you tell us who won the NFL title in the 60s?
In the 1960s, the Bears prevailed, winning the first 2 Super Bowls and hoisting up the Ditka Trophy.
The Ditka Trophy? It's the Lombardi Trophy.
Please, do not question the great man's powers.
I like how they call it a computer, too.
It's a blue and orange smart speaker, too. It's got glowing orange on the top of it.
The 1985 Bears, the finest assemblage of humans ever put on this planet.
You guys won't shut up about the 85 Bears. Well, in Green Bay, we have so many championship teams. There's no one team that cashes in on reunions every year. Can you imagine someone just bringing out their tired old act and milking it year after year after year so they can squeeze every penny out of it?
Moving on.
Moving on.
You know what?
Oh, so good.
He is kind of right about that, about the 85 Bears thing.
I was 22-10 against the Bears.
Yeah, you know, that doesn't sound right.
Not accurate.
You know, Mary Pat.
Mary Pat.
Brett Favre's record was -1-33 versus the Bears.
The Bears.
Accurate. Totally accurate.
So this thing here doesn't recognize any of my achievements.
Of course it does, Jim Bob. Mary Pat, what are the Bumpkins' greatest records?
Brett Favre threw an almost impossible 336 career interceptions, often in crucial situations.
Answer. That's nothing to sneeze at, Dale Jr.
Big records.
Why does he keep calling him NASCAR driver names?
Because he's a bumpkin. Because he's like
from Mississippi.
Because we're so sophisticated up here. and he's
a Mississippi folk.
Yeah.
Right.
Lean into it, my friend.
That's right.
Why would I do that?
Well, you're no stranger to making a buck off your likeness. Jeans, razors, lawnmowers.
Why not give the fans something that you're actually known for? Bat-breaking interceptions.
Oh, yeah.
See that?
Yeah. We have here the Brett Favre interceptions calendar.
Each day is a unique interception, including details like where he threw it and how many people witnessed this terrible toss.
I like how they're on Brett Favre for selling his name to things. Didn't Dick do that a little bit, too? I
mean, no,
maybe once in a while.
I've got my own thing I've been pushing here lately. It's the lovable kicking bear doll. And guess what? It comes with its own goalpost. Isn't that neat?
Double doink.
I don't know what you're referring to.
We're baffled.
Mary Pat, can you help us out? What is a double doink?
A double doink is when Brett Favre is sacked and intercepted on the same play. A double doink. Brett Favre was sacked to the ground an astonishing 560-yard time.
Intercepted.
And Favre tosses it.
Ray tosses Mary Pat, and then a bird catches it.
The whole thing is perfect. It's so well done.
It is.
They're all alone in the parking lot, tailgating by themselves.
Eating constantly. Sausages, pulled pork, ribs. I mean, it's just beautiful. Absolutely perfect.
All right. Is there more? There's more, right? That was it?
When he tosses it and it's intercepted. He gets rid of the Mary Pat. It's gone.
I hope they do a Packer version when the Bears come to Green Bay later.
I don't think they. I don't think
no one would be interested in that.
Right. And Green Bay can't afford it.
We
let's face it.
No.
Yeah. It's a tiny town. And why would they want to do that? Oh my God!
I can't wait.
It is.
Can't wait.
What a good sport. Of course, what does Favre have to do?
I wonder if they're going to be there tomorrow night.
I have a feeling that
the
they will.
Fans,
so
I could see that kind of a collection of of the best. You know, just members of the NFL and people who've been involved with it before in some sort of pregame thing.
Well, maybe they'll be at the thing at Grant Park.
That I would assume would be the case. You know what? It's interesting how. It's a dated bit until right now. This is how it comes back, and it's actually relevant.
Well, it also comes back when the Bears go to the Super Bowl. I mean, that's, you think about it. You know?
Super Bears Super Bowl.
After they smushed the Packers in a big end of the season sort of thing, and then, you know, Aaron Rodgers retires, and then they go to the Super Bowl. They'll be playing this again.
Remember the bit of, if it was just Dicka versus the Green Bay Packers, what would be the final score?
Yeah, I love that.
Dicka 72, Packers nothing.
Dicka versus King Kong. Who wins?
Yes.
It's just perfect. Oh, because Bears fans really kind of are like that, right? I mean, there's a little bit of revisionist history, really, when you talk to us.
Right. Well, Robert Spiegel did tell us a story about how he came up with the concept. Because he's not from Chicago, right? I mean, he's a New York guy. But, you know, he had seen episodes of the Ditka Show, the Mike Ditka Show.
Yeah.
Which was the most ridiculous piece of television in the history of the media.
Uh-huh.
And people used to line up. They shot it at Channel 2. And I was just starting there. I was just starting the business, and I was working there. And it was the craziest thing you've ever seen. Ditka would, when Channel 2 was in Streeterville, the people would line up around the block. And I think the audience was like 120 or something like that. And then we would shoot it on a Thursday night. They would shoot it on a Thursday night, and they would run on Sunday morning. And people would get up and ask the stupidest questions.
But it was
ever.
I was loving. Right. Like, this was like, you know, they were like just they revered Ditka, right?
Right.
So they would ask these like mushy questions.
So Ditka would bring one player with him that he was going to, you know, feature for that moment. It was like a. And it could have been, you know, anybody, Willie Gault or, you know, anybody. It was never Peyton. I don't think it was ever on the show. He would have been too big. He needed a guy who was like, I think Willie Gault was about as big as it would get. And there were some linemen or something. And then people would stand up and they would ask questions like, Coach, I was in your restaurant 2 weeks ago and I would like to say that the orange roughy is the finest I've ever had in my life.
Yeah, totally.
What exactly are you using for your tartar sauce? I will sit down and wait for my answer.
That's so true. Oh, gosh.
And then he would answer the question. Right? And Spiegel saw that, and that was what the whole bit was.
Mike, when is the rest of the league going to finally realize the Bears are for real? Eric Dickerson said it wasn't that bad, and Steve Grogan said the same thing.
Well, I just know that if the Bears aren't for real, then those two really don't have a whole lot of talent either, because they didn't do very much.
Funniest thing I ever heard.
Oh my God, I gotta see a full episode of this.
Oh my God.
You have to.
And it was, all right, so then Ditka would arrive in a white Rolls Royce limousine.
Oh, gee. Oh, God.
And pull up in front, and then everybody go crazy that had to be sitting outside. Because to put him in, you put him right into the studio. It could be snowing and raining. It didn't matter. They would wait for him, and he would come out and be, you know, like wearing a fur coat and come out of this.
Cigar in mouth.
Right. And then at the end, there was a 30-second commercial for the limousine company that was, you know, so the whole thing was comped. There was nothing. That was actually paid for in that deal. There was like commercials for his restaurant. I mean, it was, and then remember, he had a cigar line. He had, I don't think he had the sausages yet, wine, whatever it was that he was doing.
Didn't he have his own sandwich at one point? He's got so much merchandise.
Well, he has actually, you know what he does? He's Ditka dogs now. I think Vienna
loves the Ditka dogs.
Ditka dogs are really
very good
because they're very spicy. Mm-hmm. But he'd also talk about his restaurant. His restaurant used to be on Ontario. And it was gigantic. It was Ontario and Franklin, that big building that hasn't been anything, essentially, that worked since Ditka had it. And you would pull up to, you know, on a Sunday night, it would block traffic. You couldn't go down Ontario because Ditka would go sit in his own restaurant. He still sits in his own restaurant now that it's over on Delaware, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Or Chestnut. Chestnut's on Chestnut.
Right off of Michigan.
Right off Michigan Avenue. And it mm-hmm. still sits in there. And, you know, people love it. Because he sits and he talks to people, and they go, oh, Coach, I'd like to get up, you know, and it's just like the Ditka Show. And Ditka, back then, you know, he had the blaze orange hair, you know, and and then after they won the Super Bowl, he started wearing those fancy suits, like British suits and stuff like that, that bespoke or whatever they call it. And it's like, well, why is he doing that? You know, it's like, we want him in a blue and orange sweater. We don't want that.
Hardly recognize him that way. He has the pulled pork, too, doesn't he? I've seen that in the frozen section.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. He's got everything.
He's got, I mean, yeah, everything.
The beef.
Everything.
Yeah. He's done, listen, he won a Super Bowl. Won one Super Bowl.
He's the best, well, isn't he?
He was also on the championship team, wasn't he? Wasn't he on the NFL championship team? The year before the Super Bowl was inaugurated, the NFL champion, the Bears won the championship. That's OB was on that team, right? Mm-hmm. So then the next year was the Super Bowl, and that's where, you know, that's where the Green Bay's. I don't want to talk about it.
Cranes has a full list of all of his endorsements over the years. It's pretty lengthy. Too many to go through here.
Some I didn't remember, frankly. There was like Clear Choice dental implants.
Oh, sure.
Scott toilet paper, Coors Light, Campbell's Chunky Soup, Peak Performance Antifreeze, Hanes, McDonald's, Boost Mobile, Erectile Dysfunctional Drug, Levitra.
Oh, I'll never forget that. So he did Levitra, and then he had to deny that he had erectile dysfunction.
Because no one would want to believe that Ditka.
Right. They don't call me Iron Mike for no reason. And the thing is that as soon as he said that, Levitra was like, we can't do that. You need a little pep in your step? A little lead in the
pencil?
False
branding right there. A Bears fan believes that.
I use Levitra. Can we find the Levitra commercial? That's got to be on the interwebs. Oh, my God. And then it was it might have been like 6 weeks into the campaign that he kind of blew it up by giving an interview.
he doesn't have it.
I don't got that problem.
Does he say that he has it, though, or is it just inferred? Like, the inference is there.
I think we'll find it.
Okay, because I don't remember. I remember when he did it, I thought it was an odd choice, but it just...
Yes.
What? But...
Coach, thank you for letting me into the Ditka show. I would like to know, is your erectile dysfunction after the first 100 times? Can you explain that? I'll sit down and wait for my answer.
I think they more likely ask, Coach, there's no way you need Levitra, right? Just tell us. We don't believe it. No way. A lot of endorsements.
Did we find it? All right, here we go.
Why do I love football? It's fast, it's action-packed, play after play. Baseball, it's not quite the same. In football, come rain or snow or whatever, we play. We stay in the game. Baseball, it's not quite the same. In football, it's La Vitra. Baseball could use Levitra. Take a Levitra challenge like I did. It worked for me. Take the Levitra challenge.
I don't need it or nothing. I took the challenge to see if, you know, how long it could go.
What was that sound effect?
It was like a little ball being hit like a little bat.
Peek.
If I didn't know what that was, I'd have no idea what that commercial was trying to sell. That was extremely confusing.
Because here was the thing. They had a bunch of baseball players who were doing the Viagra commercials. That's why they decided to go with football. You know, they needed a football guy who would do it and likes to endorse things.
I got a guy for you.
We got a guy in Chicago.
I got the perfect guy.
Perfect.
Hey, even us tough guys like a little extra comfort underneath. That's why I switched from ordinary underwear to Hanes. Now I'm just a great big teddy bear. Right, guys?
It's not just underwear. It's Hanes.
Teddy bear. Is he in his underwear in that commercial? I don't remember. Like, do you see him like...
No.
No.
You just have to... It's theater of the mind. You have to imagine him in his underwear.
Cocktail weenies, you chunky, get over here.
Nothing takes care of a mean appetite like Campbell's Chunky.
That better not be the last of the chunky.
Campbell's Chunky, it takes care of the meanest appetites.
God. Never quite understood all that. Just like, does it make you buy chunky soup?
I don't know. It worked. All I know is that, they don't even make Levitra anymore, I don't think.
Had a good run.
Yeah.
Tons.
I don't have a problem. I took a challenge. This is a good Midway Airlines. There was actually a Midway Airlines.
Hey, Coach Ditka.
Yeah?
You going to Florida?
You bet. Even a coach needs a day in the sun.
I'm going to go fishing.
I'm going to play those great Florida golf courses.
You any good?
I got a little problem with
Maybe
that.
Maybe you should go fishing.
Midway flies nonstop to more Florida cities.
No. Times Ditka was actually on a Midway plane. I don't know. What do you think?
Oh, I'll bet quite a bit.
You think so?
Yeah, I'll bet. Yeah. I mean, he's got a place down in Southwest Florida. He's been there forever.
I would think everybody who has places in Florida would want to fly him on their private jet.
Yeah. That might have happened a few times, too.
I would think so.
Yeah. Anyway.
That'd be my guess.
I love him. He's an American institution. He's a Chicago institution, even though he's from Aliquippa, Pennsylvania. And the world would not be the same without Ditka. And again, the T is silent. Kim Gordon has got the WGN News right now.